Jason, good to have you again.
Hey, Comrade Tim, how's it going?
Going well, as well as it sounds like the Cardinals did today, as opposed to most of the time lately.
Yeah, if you're watching us on YouTube right now, you can see that I'm wearing a Cardinals jersey because I came right from the game to Little Hills Church this evening. So there we go. Yeah, we won 5-1. Gave up a run in the ninth, but oh well. 5-1. There you go. Everybody hit. Everybody fielded. Everybody pitched well, pretty much. So right back on the horse, 31-33, and now no longer in last place and only half a game out of second. So figure that one out.
Well, that's something at least. Now, Comrade, talk me through something. I heard a statistic yesterday, which is that on this date, or yesterday's date at least, if a team was below 500, a Cardinals team, the only team that then made it to the playoffs was Tony La Russa's 1996 team.
Yeah, because the 1996 team absolutely came out of nowhere. There was a lot of dissension in the locker room because you may remember that Tony La Russa made the decision to name Royce Clayton as the starting shortstop as opposed to the great and legendary Ozzie Smith, and most of the team thought it should have been Ozzie. So Tony had to go and apologize to the guys somewhere around the All-Star break, and when he apologized and said, I made a mistake, then that brought the team together and within one game of the World Series. So, you know, reconciliation works, Tim. I guess that's all we can say about that.
Yeah, that's a good thing to say on a podcast of two Christian guys.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, shall we jump in? We have lots of things to cover today.
Lots of things to cover.
Well, Comrade, our first topic tonight, outside of the questions around the Cardinals, is something that is dealing with another issue that's striking out, which is a lot of social media. Wouldn't you say? I mean, there's a lot of social media that's just garbage today.
Yeah, too much. There's so many different media companies and platforms that you're like, which one do I need to be on? Which one's going to take off? Which one's going to collapse? Is X going to collapse? There was a lot of chatter about that for a while, and here it is.
And X is the one that is a huge question for me, and not because I dislike Elon Musk. I'm actually generally a pretty big proponent of a lot of what he's done. I love what SpaceX is doing. I don't own a Tesla. I don't own anything worth even a fraction of a Tesla to drive, but I like a lot of what he does. And I was hopeful with X, but I wrote an open for business the other week, and I'll put in the show notes. I don't think anyone just objectively looking at the platform can say it's gotten better since he purchased it. It crashes more. Some key features that power users used have gone away. And now the one that really got me kind of in this mode at the moment is that, X has never really strongly filtered content, but they now are officially allowing X-rated content on X. And it seems like, you and I were talking before the show, that really what's at play here is that Musk wants a bigger profit driver for X. And one of the ways he can get a giant profit driver is to allow pornography onto the site and then allow people to pay for access to certain X users that are posting X-rated content. And I think that's what
you're talking about. Yeah. And what you might be seeing is people are aware of the popularity of things like OnlyFans. And so you have seen people trying to monetize that type of content before, but now X is stepping in to say, we're officially mainstreaming this. And of course, as two Christian guys, we're not fans of that at all. We're not in favor of that at all. But then that arises the question, should we stay or should we go, in the words of an old pop song.
Yes. And that's a, I think, a complex question. I wrestled with that somewhat in that piece I wrote for Open for Business, that on the one hand, we're trying to follow Jesus and be where people are. We're not trying to hole up in some holy modern synagogue of social media where everything is, if you'll pardon the pun, kosher. But on the other hand, I don't like lending any extra legitimacy to this sort of thing. And it also, I think, just raises big questions. Where is the platform going in the future? You know, it clearly is going in directions that I don't like to see, that you don't like to see. Where is it going from here? And that's where my piece led to, because on the one hand, then the choice could be, well, if I don't like where it's going, maybe what I need to do is I'll just go use, say, Threads, right? Threads is the great Twitter killer.
Yeah.
But Threads is owned by Meta, the same company that owns Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp. And Messenger. And they have different sins, but I don't think anyone would say that Meta is a great example of everything good in our culture that we really want to be behind either.
Clearly not. And so one of the aspects of your piece is about alternatives to a big social media behemoth like Meta.
Right.
And I know you're on Mastodon. I know with the Fediverse, you can post to different social media platforms. With what you've been doing, you can control who is a user and what they see on the platform.
Right.
So those are things we have to look at. We don't want to abandon anywhere where people are, like you said, but we're also just feeble sinners like anybody else. And so one of the things that we both wanted to say is, if X or any other social media platform becomes a temptation, and you fall into sin because of that temptation, go ahead and cut it out of your life, you know?
Yeah.
So that's an aspect where, and we can't shy away from it. We don't shy away from any topics here on Zippy the Wonder Snail. So we definitely wanted to say that from a pastoral perspective is, you know, you're not winning much for the kingdom if you're falling down continually because you didn't discern where you need to be and not be. But I'm going to stay on it for the foreseeable. If other avenues open up and, you know, Mastodon really grows or even Threads or something like that, then I'll be over there. So, yeah.
So let me throw out my challenge. And this is a challenge actually I gave my church family over the last week. When I look at social media, a great deal of it is how can we get good gospel content out, right? I'm a pastor. I want the content of this church to go out and reach people. And we're kind of a unique church in that we started online during the pandemic. Online is in our DNA, and so of course we want to engage with that. But I'd say that Christians in general that are online, that's something we should want.
Yeah.
And so what I said was, well, to back up, when Twitter, still it was still Twitter at the time, started to really show some problems about a year and a half ago, and I wasn't ready to abandon it like a lot of people were, but I was concerned, I created a instance, it's called a Mastodon. And the way to look at Mastodon is sort of like email. Right. Some people have Gmail, some people have Yahoo, some people have, say, Spectrum Internet, and their email address ends in spectrum.net. It could be a bunch of different things. Maybe you have a corporate email address or a school email address, and they can all talk to each other. And that's the way the Fediverse works. So, you know, we have that at AOL.com or, boy, I just really dated myself.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be.
AOL.com, wow.
Yeah, it can be lots of different things, but, you know, you can all talk to each other. And that's the idea of the Fediverse is, what if social media were more like email, where you pick a server that you like for whatever reason, you like the price, you like the people on it, whatever it might be, You join that, and you can talk to everybody else, but you don't necessarily have to like everything that their particular email server has, right? Some email servers would prohibit pornographic information, others wouldn't. And you could choose based on your conscience whether you want to belong to whichever one.
Yeah.
So that's the Fediverse. And so I wanted, when I was concerned about Twitter, I thought, well, how can we as a church, how can we as a ministry with FaithTree, how can Open for Business have a presence on the Fediverse, but we're not tying into a server that, or an instance that I might not like what it represents ultimately. And what we did is we launched FaithTree Social, faithtree.social, which can talk to everybody else in the Fediverse. If you're on mastodon.social, actually later this year, if you're on Threads, you'll be able to interact back and forth with us. It's not like going into just our little private forum that we can only talk amongst ourselves, but we could at least have control over what was right there associated with us.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of geekery, but where that really drives to is that I said to my church family, I asked all of them, faithtree.social is presently a private server, so it's not where everybody can sign up. There's lots of servers you can, but I can individually approve people. Would everyone from the church join that and go and make some connections on the broader Fediverse so that we can have an alternative outlet into social media that's not the whims of if X goes so X-rated that there's no way a Christian could stay on it in good conscience. It's not contributing to the surveillance state of Meta where everything Meta touches is new way to track us and sell us.
Or it just stops working.
Oh, yeah. So all those things. And so the church family's been great about getting on it. And it's a little different. So it takes some patience to learn about it. But my hope is we get on it, we share stuff, we interact with other people on it. And that way, we're not abandoning X, we're not abandoning Facebook. But I said, would you just copy and paste what you're going to post on Instagram or Facebook or wherever, put it on there as well, so that if it becomes the point where those are intolerable, we're already building community and outreach somewhere else. And you're helping the church and the ministry do that as well.
And here I'm going to give a random shout out to somebody on the web, and that will be exciting. Corinne Reed is somebody that I follow on Twitter. She's the CEO of Ellison Labs, who's an AI pioneer, but she's also a mother of three, well, coming up soon, of three, and she has the most hilarious Twitter takes ever, and I know she's a believer and all that stuff, so shout out to Corinne. She's a great Twitter follow. If X/Twitter collapses or something else, we'll have to find each other on something else. Corinne's the best. Anyway.
Well, we'll just encourage her to join the Fediverse as well.
Yeah, the Fediverse. Join the Fediverse, everybody.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and put the Open for Business and my Fediverse account in the show notes. I'm still working on you, comrade, to get you on it as well. You're kind of halfway on it, so maybe by the time the show notes come out, I can convince you to go all the way.
It's pretty much a metaphor for my entire life. Okay. Yeah.
Well, anyway, do consider checking out. My conviction is competition is a good thing. And competition on something that's one of our primary ways of communicating with each other in our present age is incredibly important. So consider joining the Fediverse. If you need some help, I'd be happy to help. Just write it in the comments or write Zippy at ofb.biz. We'd be glad to help you. But get on there. And let's build a better presence. And maybe someday we don't have to talk about whether Meta or X or anyone else is any good because there's something better that we can join.
And all kidding aside, you and I on politics, but we 1,000% agree on choices. So, yeah, I agree with everything you said. Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll all be on there in a fortnight. What isn't a full fortnight away is the weather. The weather is coming every day. And what you need is weather that just like Mastodon doesn't track you. You also would like to have weather that doesn't track. You don't want to be tracked and turned into a product just because you want to know if it's raining outside or not, do you, comrade?
No.
No. And so you should join faithtree.com weather. It's faithtree.com/weatherdesk. Just go over there, sign up for a free account. You can check the weather. You can check the weather multiple times a day, multiple locations. We're not going to track you. We just want to get the weather to you, and you'll get a little scriptural encouragement as you do.
You didn't say desk last time.
I didn't.
I don't remember you saying desk.
Oh, well.
You just said faith tree slash weather,
I think
and
that
now
works
you're
too.
saying desk, so I don't know.
I think they both work.
He's throwing desks, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
Well, comrade, we're supposed to be in the tortured poets department segment, but I'm going to torture you for a second. I need to go back just for 1 second and mention one other thing. Just I want to dangle something in front of our listeners that I think is going to make them excited about the Fediverse.
Of course you do.
Yeah, and that's this: the dreaded algorithm. You know, the thing that you go on Facebook or X and it shows you all kinds of stuff from people you don't even know, and a few people you hardly ever talk to, but never shows to people you actually want to talk to. It doesn't exist on the Fediverse. It's so great. You can go on there and it just shows you a chronological timeline of the people you actually want to hear from.
That is a big thing that you should have said.
Yeah, I should have, but I'm just torturing you now because we're talking about the Tortured Poets Department, which of course is the brand new album from Taylor Swift. And if you've been with us on Zippy the Wonder Snail for a while, you know we actually had our first episode ever. We talked about Folklore, which it's a fantastic album. I mean, it is a really, really fantastic album.
Yeah.
Since then, we've also talked about, I think we briefly talked
Talked about
about,
every other album that
yeah,
she's put
everyone, and that's
out.
not easy. But Tortured Poets Department just came out about a month and a half ago. I've been working my way slowly through it, much to your
Triggering,
consternation.
yes.
But you know, it is the Poets Department, and poetry is meant to be consumed slowly. So.
Savored and
Yeah.
yes.
So, comrade, what do you think? What do you make of the Tortured Poets Department?
Yeah, well, T Swift here, she's in fine form as usual and crushing most of her competition by any measure reasonable. And I think this album's great. I think the album's really good, and I'm glad she's going in this direction. I think it is very possible that actually none of these songs are actually about Travis Kelce, which is interesting. They're
Oh,
probably
interesting.
Now, I didn't spend a lot of time reading all that, diving into w which songs are about which guy and all that. I didn't do all that. But the genesis of this album came before the Travis stuff. So it's very possible that we're at least one boyfriend and probably two boyfriends prior in some of these songs. My favorite track on the initial album, because she did it again, she made it into a double album, and you're not done with the anthology yet. But Daddy, I Love Him on the first part of the album. Yeah, I love the whole thing. Who am I kidding? But that one, she's singing about like kind of freaking out her parents and freaking out the community and all that. And I think she dated a guy named Matthew or Matt. Before she ran into Travis, and but Daddy, I Love Him is about Matt and not Travis, so that adds an interesting vibe. Yeah,
That's an
so.
interesting track to bring up because one of the early criticisms of the album that I saw, at least from a lot of our circles, was the different references to religion throughout it. And she makes a pretty clear pointed reference or two in But Daddy, I Love Him.
Yeah, and she said, "You ain't gotta pray for me," and various things that she says, and so it seems really negative. And I have told friends that it made me really sad when she said that. But let me look at it another way, and I know that hopefully I don't scandalize the listeners here. There's a TV program, and it's still going on, a TV program on the Hulu network there. The one that the politics people always use. The Handmaid's
Oh,
Tale. The Handmaid's Tale.
yeah. I've
So,
not seen it, but.
and one of the things that is really interesting about The Handmaid's Tale is it's not as heavy-handed with some of the stuff how it gets used in politics. So when you see it in politics and you see people dressed up like the handmaids from this program, it's real heavy-handed, and you know who the bad guys are, and you know who the good guys are, and you know they're just at, let's be blunt, they're just after abortion rights and all that kind of stuff. And you can figure that out. In The Handmaid's Tale, it's a lot more subtle. So even in the TV show, you see examples of bad religion and good religion. I remember watching a show, and I only made it a few episodes because there are some scandalizing elements in there. But there's a woman walking with another woman talking about, and they must be close to New York City, and they're talking about, oh, St. Patrick's used to be right over there, St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. And the other girl's like, ah, what happened to it? And it was like, well, the party got to it and shut all that down. And so we know that the ruling party in Gilead there has a whole religious motif going on, and they're using religion for their own purposes. But they deliberately drew a positive contrast to the Catholic Church that used to
Interesting.
be there and the religion of Gilead. So when you watch the show, you don't, it's not just a one note, religion is bad, religion is bad, religion is bad. It used to be like this, and now it's like this.
Interesting.
And so I think that'd be, if you could skip past all the gory parts and the naughty parts and all that, like, it might even be a show worth watching and contemplating. And because when you see the governing authorities in the show using religion, they always use it the wrong way. They never give you an interpretation of scripture where you go, oh, that's the traditional interpretation of this verse, all the way back to wherever. It's always, always, always misused. And whether they got advice on that, or whether they just did it because they didn't want to offend the entire world when they put this out there, I don't know. But I think overall it's a positive view of religion if you can get past all the weird stuff that the governing authorities do.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think we all should be able to say fairly that you can, there's plenty to critique in really bad attempts to be religious. And certainly people misuse Christian theology. And so, and that actually takes me all the way back to your track you picked out, But Daddy, I Love Him. I think if people are actually not looking to find something to find fault with, but are just actually listening to it sort of on a, for what it is, to me, it's very much like what you're describing there. The different references I hear in the album are not condemning religion per se, they're condemning the worst aspects of it. And I think there's a distinction there. Another one that sort of struck me on that was Only I Can Fix Him, I think that's the name of the title of the track. And it said there's something there that also implies she doesn't need God to fix the situation. But the very last line in it is something like, or maybe I can't. And I think if you actually listen, like, on everything I think as Christians that we listen to, we really should try to listen, not immediately trying to figure out how it falls apart, but listen to it and see if maybe someone's actually saying something honest and pained. And when I hear that, some of these, the lyrics in it, to me, if I think we give it a more sympathetic ear, it's more maybe speaking of some of the stuff we've even seen in the last few years where like Christians were trying to come up with all these conspiracy theories about Swift. It's not even, it's not, it's, and that's at that level, much like what you're saying, like I haven't seen anything of The Handmaid's Tale, but if you're kind of contrasting there, the church that was versus this distorted church that shows up in the dystopian future.
And I think let's go back to Taylor for a second, because we could wax on this album all day long, but let's go back to a moment on Folklore. And it was Mirrorball, And
Yes, yeah.
she has a lot of interesting lyrics in the song Mirrorball, and she says, "I'm still a believer, but I don't know why. I've never been a natural. All I do is try, try, try." And you're listening to that and you go, there's something here. She's not just throwing it all away. Maybe she doesn't know what to do with it.
Yes.
She doesn't know what to do with her faith. Maybe she feels that she's lost it. Maybe she feels she should lose it. But she's not throwing it away entirely. And there's those little hints of that. So all that is to say, maybe I'm just saying that I'm a fan. I know you're a fan. Here's the other thing, is I'm not just a fan of Taylor's cultural products or the fact that Taylor herself is a cultural product. I feel like I'm a fan of her as a person, which is weird to say. I hope that's not too weird for the listeners to hear. I think she's an interesting person. I think there are good things about her. And even as people, they criticize her in various publications and things or use her life as an example of what not to do, and we've seen that a few times. This is still a person, again, made in the image of God, who's just trying to find their way, and doing it in front of millions and possibly billions of people.
Yeah.
So,
And that kind of comes back to, I think, the title, the Tortured Poets Department.
yeah.
An awful lot of pop stars, maybe even the majority, write very little of their own work. And I'm not saying they don't have talent, but I do think an album like this does feel like you're actually interacting with poetry of a person whom you can actually know whom it is without going and looking in the album liner and finding someone you don't know who wrote the song. A particular person through the album or through the albums that's working through life. And that's what poetry does. And I do think some people thought the title was pretentious, but I don't really think it is. I think it's accurate. It is a poetic album. And the other thing I'd say, and I'm not through the anthology side yet, the second disc they got released, what, 5 hours later or whatever it was. I don't think it was even that. It was like 2 hours.
I was
But
very annoyed, I have to say,
yeah.
because I downloaded the whole first one, then the second one came.
Yeah, it's an interesting technique she uses. But I'd say that second album or second disc, if we want to use the archaic terminology of the of 20 years ago, is more poetic than the first. It really strikes me more as folkloric. It feels more like a continuation of Folklore and Evermore. And I really, really like it. I really like that second disc a lot. Although, I mean, there's some catchy tracks on the first disc, Fortnite, and it starts off with a catchy start and it continues from there. But anyway, I'm rambling. I think it is poetic, and I don't think that's, I think that's a fitting title. And
Great
yeah.
vocals on that track Fortnite by Post Malone, which I don't know a lot of Post Malone, but I was like, man, he sang that really well. And maybe he had assistance there, but I really enjoyed that track a lot.
They go together really, really
Yeah,
well.
they really do.
The favorite track I think I'm gonna say is I'm gonna get you back.
I could see why you would say that. I also love So High School, which is a little bit later.
Yes, I have gotten to that. Yes, that's
Yeah. So I thought it was going to be really negative when I looked at the title, but it's so positive and
yeah.
it brings your spirits up. It's fantastic.
Yeah. There's some really fun wordplay, and you know me, I love wordplay, so that's that. Yeah. Any other closing thoughts on that, Conrad?
No, I
Okay.
think we're good there.
Before we move on from Taylor Swift entirely, I just wanted to say a quick little thing in case our listeners decide to go to listen to the album. The one thing that troubles me with it is just the amount of foul language that shows up on the album. So I download the clean version because I didn't want all that. But it's definitely probably the most intense of any Swift album so far.
Yeah, maybe I'm the pagan, but I didn't notice it. But she has used such language before. I think basically starting in the folklore era,
Yep.
and it's become more of a feature of our albums. I did download the clean version of Evermore because there's one song that's completely destroyed by that language, and it's Ivy.
Exactly. I
So
knew that's where you were going.
Ivy's unlistenable unless you have the clean version. So, and that's just how I feel, convicted as a Christian. So,
I'm right there with you on that.
if you can get the clean version of the Tortured Poets, do it. I don't remember anything of that nature like Ivy, but if you're troubled by other things, then be aware of that.
Yeah, I would say there, I don't think there's, at least that I caught, any real like religious profanity in this album, like what you're referring to, I believe, in Ivy. But the it still just bothers me, the frequency of it. And so I wanted to put this on before we sent everybody off to go listen to the Tortured Poets department, and then they say, "Whoa, what in the world are you listening to?" But I will say that I think this is a good opportunity, again, as Christians, as we engage with non-Christian culture. If you go and download the clean version, whether you stream it or you buy it, you're saying, "I value the art, but I don't want that." And we're telling artists that. So I think that's a value. I think that's a good
Right.
signal we can send.
And the fact that she's willing to do clean versions of those songs says that there's a back and forth about that. So
Yeah.
let that be what it is. And the biggest star in the world can still share her art and everyone's happy. So
Yeah,
that's something to think through.
and a lot of times there's clever adjustments she makes to fit the clean version to make it
Yeah,
work. So
yeah.
I do appreciate that, and I encourage listeners, check it out, but check out the clean version. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Little Hills Church, where we're recording, and I encourage you, whether you're looking for a church in person in St. Charles, St. Louis, or if you are looking for an online church family, connect with us, littlehills.church. Well, I hope that this episode has once again been an encouragement to you. Let me just remind you that over the summer, Jason and I are going through Luke 18 and 19 together at Little Hills. So if you check out littlehills.church, you can watch us on live streaming, or you can visit us in person. We would love to get to share in digging into that. Jason actually just tonight was preaching on the rich young ruler who comes and says, "What do I need to do? I'm doing all this stuff, right?"
Yeah.
And yet, he doesn't want to give up his wealth.
This guy in our passage tonight, I've been babbling for the last 15 minutes, but this guy in our passage tonight, he wanted to hold on to his money. And Jesus said, "That's the one thing in your way, man. That's the one thing in your way. Treasure in heaven. Distribute all your money to the poor, because there's more treasure in heaven than you've ever even thought about. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him." A quote from Isaiah, and quoted again in one of John's letters. We have no idea. And to even talk about it is a little bit crazy on our parts, because we're just human. We don't even listen. We don't even know what the spiritual bodies in 1 Corinthians 15 are. We just know they're going to be great. And we know that death can't hold us. There's so much we don't know. But what we can rest in is that our Lord, our God, is good. And he's so good that things that we haven't even thought about or hoped for are the things that he wants to give us in his name. Let's think about the different things that the Lord could be asking us tonight. Where does he want to take these people and this church? Where does he want to go? What amazing, unthinkable, unimaginable, crazy thing
is the Lord going to do with this church? Who's he going to ask us to help? Are we going to, is this church going to be one day like really, really big one day? Is Tim going to accidentally become a mega church pastor by accident? Like, we don't know. We don't know what the Lord's going to do. But, and there's lots of people, let me stop and say this. There's lots of people saying that talking about the individual discipleship mission that God has for each one of us will burn people out. They'll get burnout and they'll feel like failures because they don't want to go back to their ordinary lives. You know what? The mission field is your ordinary life. It is your ordinary life. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I got to be honest for a second here. Not that I've been lying the whole time, but you know, I have come back to St. Louis for the summer, and I recognize that my purpose is to spend a ton of time with my mom and go to baseball games. Like, that's my, you can see that I literally went to the Cardinals game and then I came straight over here. And then as I said before, I got saved again during the worship portion of the church. And sometimes, mother and son, that can be challenging at times because you're still a son and she's still your mom. And that's still sort of frustrating. What if, and there's nothing wrong with my mom. My mom's the best. You know what I mean? Like, I'm being ridiculous. But what if your mission field is sitting right across from you at the kitchen table? What if that's your, what if that's your mountain of sanctification? What if Tim's mountain of sanctification is having to put up with my face every couple of weeks? So, even the little things are the big things. Why? Why are the little things the big things? The little things are the big things because the little things are all we have, first of all. We've said that before. We're not bringing anything. So when he gives us a mission, it can't be, you know, he's not going to call up and say, hey, guess what? You're the savior of the world. He's not going to do that because that's ridiculous. He's already the savior of the world. He's not going to ask you to do something that he hasn't already done. Humbling? Yes. Because you ever complain to God in prayer? Jesus, oh, man, this person doesn't like me, and I'm so anxious, and I'm a school teacher, so here come the weird examples. My planning period's not long enough, and why do we have so many bells, and why can't I go home at 3 instead of 3:20? And Jesus goes, in his way, goes, really? Really? He goes, you got 5 crucifixes in your house. Why don't you stop and look at one once in a while? You know, and you look at the cross and go, yeah, it's not that bad. You know, what I'm dealing with isn't that bad. But we also have to come to him again, like Tim said earlier, and bring him all the time that we failed in that small way or sometimes a big way to do what God's asking us to do. But know that the same place before the cross that is the place of humility is also the place of exaltation.
Cheat a little in this episode. I'm going to put in the show notes. You should go listen to Jason's sermon. Yeah. It's great. And it's so important for us to think about that, about how there's those things, little spoiler, those things that God is challenging us to give up. And it's not the same for everybody. So Jason had a great, great message tonight. You'll want to check that out. Well, it's been great, comrade, to be with you once again, and great to be with all of you who join us every time for Zippy the Wonder Snail. Let me just remind you, you can see past episodes at snail.zip, that's snail.zip, and you can follow us on your favorite podcasting app.
Yeah, all of them. I can't name all that off, but you're the one who does commercials.
Well, you know, that's my specialty. So do check us out. It's always a joy to be with you. I can't wait to be with you again very, very soon, comrade. And in the meantime, listeners, you really should go listen, if you haven't already, to Jason's message. We'll see you again next time. Two Christian guys zipping through the news and culture that matter to you.